Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
All right, everyone, welcome back to This Dude Started Something. Today's guest has created something that has probably been in your mouth. And if it hasn't, you're seriously missing out. Today, we've got the hummus king himself, the flavor genius, the dip disruptor, Mr. Chris Kirby, the founder and CEO of Ithaca Hummus.
This guy didn't just whip up some chickpeas and call it a day. Nah, he built a brand that's taken over grocery stores and quite literally taken over your fridge. We're talking real ingredients, no fake stuff, and people say it tastes so good you'll start questioning your sexuality. He also likes crypto. How you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing well. What an intro, boys. Well done.
Thank you.
Appreciate
that. My first question is, how did you get into the hummus game?
Yeah, good place to start. So I was a chef for almost 10 years and got just burnt out of restaurant life. I don't know if you guys have ever worked in a restaurant, but most people know what I'm talking about, right?
It's intense. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a hard way to make a living, and it's a hard way to envision a future where you've got a family and kids and, you know, you're not working nights and weekends and holidays. So, but I still love cooking and I love food. I always have. And so I decided that I was going to open a stand at the Ithaca Farmers Market and sell one thing. And that was our lemon garlic hummus. And man, like the reaction was just insane from people. Like, you know, I would sample it out to thousands of people just about every Saturday, and just seeing the reaction on people's faces was like kind of a light bulb moment for me. And I decided to keep rolling with it.
You sold thousands just in one like farmer's market, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so the Ithaca Farmers Market in Ithaca, New York is one of the biggest farmers markets in the country. It's got over 5,000 people on a busy Saturday that come and attend and show up. So I made it my job to literally no one would walk by without getting handed a free sample. And, you know, from there, the sales came as well. So, yeah, it was a busy market for sure.
Yeah, and I'm guessing the name probably wasn't Ithaca Hummus at that point. What, like, was it?
It was.
Oh, shoot. You started with Ithaca Hummus. Okay.
Yes.
Dang. That's also a good strategy, because, like, yeah, people that are like, interested in the farmer's market, it's almost like a brand in itself, you know?
Totally. You know, other people have had that same exact idea. Ithaca is kind of like a crunchy, hippie town with a couple of big universities in it. So it's been a huge uphill battle to trademark the name Ithaca. And if you like, if you were to go buy like starting a business for dummies or whatever, like it's literally, I'm serious. It's the first couple pages is like, do not name your brand or your company after a geographic location that's already got some kind of pre-existing meaning to it. Because when you go to try to trademark that, which becomes important when you grow to become a nationally recognized brand, it's very difficult to do.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. So what were some of the challenges that you've, faced trying to market it?
Well, hummus is a perishable product. So when I started out, it only had like a 7-day shelf life, which meant I had to literally make it, sell it, get it into someone's refrigerator and have them consume it within 7 days, which is not a lot of time. So that causes all sorts of issues, from spoilage on my end. The customer, might not use it all. And, it certainly restricted my ability to distribute the product very wide.
Yeah.
Which in hindsight, actually turned out to be a huge blessing, because, I had to sell as much as I could in a really small footprint, which is kind of what you want to do when you're starting any kind of small business. You want to establish your core audience and learn as much as you can out of them and then kind of grow it from there. So shelf life and the perishable nature of the product was a huge challenge. Just time, figuring out where I was going to find the time to make the stuff, sell the stuff. I was also a student when I started Ithaca Hummus, so I had a full course load and, so just finding the time to do it and the energy. There was a bajillion problems. You guys know, started, you've got a business, right? And you kind of just, that's what business is. It's solving one problem after another and doing it successfully and maintaining a level of energy and ambition and excitement for what you do every day, despite all the problems that you solve.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like the perishability also is a good aspect for a company like yours, because it keeps customers coming back. Every week they're like, all right, I need the Ithaca Hummus. Yesterday I was in the grocery store and I couldn't even have the traditional one because it's all sold out. And clearly you guys are doing great. So oh, I just want to say that.
No, appreciate it. It forced me to go deep instead of, what you want to do as an entrepreneur when you're starting out is you want to go as wide as you can, because that's where, you think the sales are, right? I want as many people to listen to this podcast or taste my hummus as possible. But the reality is it takes discipline to go deep with your target market or your target audience. But that's really irreplaceable time that you're learning, and it forces you to get creative. You gotta figure out how to do it with a small market, and that's not a bad thing.
What do you mean by go deep? Do you mean keep people revisiting your hummus? What do you mean? Building customer relations that we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't distracted in the first few years building Ithaca Hummus with trying to get a meeting with the Walmart buyer. I was focusing all of my time and attention on how do I get more people in my literal geographic zip code to try this product. I was forced to go really deep in a confined geography, as opposed to stay kind of shallow across many, many, many geographies.
Right. Yeah.
As a brand, especially a perishable brand, you don't want to out-distribute your ability to create awareness and generate trial of your product, because that's like the kiss of death.
Yeah, I feel like it's the perfect example of less is more, just really focusing on that target audience first rather than thinking super big picture. Can we talk the scale though? Moving on to big picture, because I was in Whole Foods yesterday, they have it. I think Harris Teeter and Publix has it too. How did you go from the farmer's market, those thousands of Ithaca citizens, to presenting or however you got it into those big grocery stores?
Yeah. So Ithaca is now in over 10,000 stores nationwide. you know, we do upwards of over $50 million a year in revenue. We sold 10 million cups of hummus last year. So yeah, we've come a long That's way nuts. From the farmer's market days. But you have to remember, you know, I started in 2013, so it's been, you know, 12 good solid years of very incremental growth. So that one zip code turned into like a county, and then the county turned into like the upstate region of New York, and then that turned into all of New York. And, you know, you just kind of grow in these concentric circles. And for the first couple of years, I was manufacturing the product myself. I started out in a little summer camp kitchen. It was $250 a month, little tiny, you know, spot. And then I moved into 10,000 square feet of manufacturing space that I built out, and had like 10 employees and ran the manufacturing, and was trying to grow the brand and go do sales and everything at the same time. And that was a nightmare. And then eventually I got hooked up with a co-manufacturer. So a company that I found that could actually make my product to the specification that I was looking for, and developed a really deep partnership with that co-manufacturer who we're still exclusive with today. And that was a big turning point for me, because that allowed me to focus entirely on how to grow our distribution and how to grow our same store sales and our velocity at retail. Exclusively. Like, that was all I was focused on. And it was like a huge weight off my shoulder.
Oh, I bet. And,
you know, and then we started going to trade shows. You know, I'm a big fan of LinkedIn. If I can find you on the internet and I need to talk to you, I'm going to find you. And I'm going to be emailing you relentlessly until you return my email. I'll be calling you. I'll send you letters to your house, you know, whatever it takes. To
the
get
Batman of emails.
You have to, right? I mean,
yeah.
If you're willing to out hustle, you know, you're dangerous in today's world, because there's so many people just aren't willing to go to the lengths that's required to be successful. And so it was a lot of that, a lot of persistence. And then, you know, I always try to take care of the customers that I had, right? Like a bird in the hand is so valuable, because when you go to sell to a new prospect, what do they want to hear about? You know, how are your existing customers doing? Can I get a referral? What's the data look like at Wegmans? That was really important when I went to sell at Publix and Harris Teeter, because they had some kind of proxy of like, okay, here's what I can expect to sell on a per store basis. So I'm really going off and being maybe a little bit long-winded on a tangent on this, but that's just to say, like, it's been a process. And, and a lot of hustle, and eventually hiring the right team and personal development. I mean, you name it. It's been a journey for me.
If I went to the store and wanted to get a cup of hummus made by Chris Kirby, is that possible today? Or are you done with the hummus stirring? Are you on to bigger things now?
Yeah, no, I don't
do it anymore.
I hung out my apron a while ago. And, okay. And I did that because I found people who can do it better than me. I mean,
they are
like automated and like dialed in beyond what I ever could have accomplished by myself. But it's funny, because in the beginning, I thought that wasn't possible. So many entrepreneurs think that they've got the golden tongue, you know, or the magic touch that like no one could ever replicate. But, you know, generally, usually that's not true. And you just kind of have to get out of your own way. And I did that. Let's see, in probably 2016 I made my last batch of Ithaca hummus.
But you were the one that had the idea, and that's why it's cool, is because like you were the entrepreneur that had the idea, and then you kind of gave it to other people to like, you know, use their skills and make it a big brand. So how did you said you were passionate about cooking, and how did you keep the passion there, like when you started to move on to like sales stuff and marketing, you know, with your company?
Yes, great question. I mean, I started out passionate about cooking. I was passionate about the gratification that I felt when someone tasted a product that I made, and it created this emotional response, like, wow, you know, that excitement or that look.
Especially
on
the females, yeah.
Oh, females, you got it. I mean,
yeah, they love hummus.
They love hummus. I mean, that's a whole, you know, side benefit of this whole gig. I saw somebody commented on your Instagram. The girls are going to be blowing up your DMs. I don't know if that's not, but
oh, it's happening.
Going? Okay, good. Good. But you know, then that passion, like, it's a very narrow focus, right? Being passionate about food and the reaction of someone when they taste it, like, it grew for me. It became about, like, growing my business. I got passionate about things I never thought I would be passionate about, like closing a sales call, you know, maximizing profitability, driving trial and awareness, and using new tactics. I became passionate about growth in all types of ways. And so I was able to get myself excited to go and learn some totally different thing that I'd never done before, because I knew that if I did a good job.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
It would result in the growth of the business, plus some new skill set that I didn't know before I launched myself into it, which also meant that one day, if I got really proficient at running sales or building the actual brand, that I'd be able to hire people and manage them well. So I don't know. What does that mean? I think I became passionate about personal development. About personal and professional development. I grew really a passion for both of those things. And that's what enabled me to kind of just, you know, morph and evolve into whatever I needed to morph and evolve into, you know, according to the needs of the business.
Yeah. And that's like such a good aspect of just being the CEO and founder. I feel like you need that. And then also speaking about growth, how do you come up with new flavors without overextending? Because I'm sure a lot of people want to see every single possible flavor, maybe even crazy ones. Like, how do you figure out, okay, this is how many we can create without overextending?
Yeah, that's such a great question and something that we think a lot about at Ithaca. I put a cap on the number of different flavors that we offer. And for a long time, it was 9. No more than 9, because after that, as you can imagine, the 10th, the 11th to the 12th, you start to have this long tail of flavors that just don't sell that well. And they ultimately just end up cannibalizing your core. And when you're manufacturing a product, longer runs are more efficient, which means they're more profitable. So you want a core set of items that just crank.
Absolutely.
So that forces you to really focus in and hone in on, like, so what are those items and how do we decide what makes it on that list and what stays on that list after it's on? So when I think about new flavors, it's got to be, you know, different than what consumers can get out of the category and other brands. So we want to be unique, but at the same time, we want to have mass appeal. You know, it doesn't do anybody, our brand or the category or the retailer, any good to have some weird flavor that's weird just for the sake of being weird. You know, you want it to be unique, like French onion, for example. It's unique to the category. No other brand has a French onion hummus. But guess what? That's a really popular dip flavor outside of hummus. So people are used to dipping in their chips into a French onion thing, right?
Oh,
but it was not being, you know, it didn't exist in hummus. So that was a really good example of, you know, jalapeno lime, you know, classic flavor combination, super popular. Yeah, right. Man. But like nobody was really doing it well. And have you guys had that one? You had it in the Instagram video, I think.
Yeah, I did.
You got that one, Oliver?
I ate that one. I didn't cover myself in that one. I covered myself in the garlic one because the internet told me that was the safer option. So
yeah. Good. Yeah. The jalapenos, you know, you don't want to get that. And right. Yeah.
The flavors are so weird nowadays. They got the weirdest flavors. Like people coming out with water bottle flavors or something, or like string cheese.
Yeah.
But I think, dude, do you guys have is anybody doing a cinnamon, like a Texas Roadhouse cinnamon butter flavor?
Cinnamon butter. Whoa.
Kind of like that.
You like that?
Hey, I mean, no, that is not being done. So I'm gonna add that to the short list, and we'll wrap table that. And
okay.
You never know.
Yeah, maybe we'll see it. Yeah.
Maybe you'll see it. we did just launch a olive oil and sea salt.
Ooh.
I don't know if you guys are like on the whole like carnivore diet thing, but that seems to be popular among the younger generation, the younger crowd.
Yeah.
But like that and olive oil is like having a major moment where people are basically drinking it.
They say it's really good for you.
It's really good for you. And it is. I mean, so we leaned in with a brand called Graza. They're the green squeeze bottle olive oil. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but we just launched an olive oil and sea salt flavor, which again, like doesn't really exist in the category, but olive oil and hummus, match made in heaven. Graza and Ithaca, match made in heaven. It's going to absolutely crush.
When you release a new flavor, do you release it to all the stores? Or do you like kind of like soft launch it someplace?
Or like sample it somewhere maybe?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. We generally try to limit the first release of it to one retailer. And usually we'll give that retailer an exclusive like 60 or 90 day window in exchange for their help with us like really pushing it out there, you know. Again, it's like you want to go deep. You want to go deep initially, however you define deep, right? Maybe it's just one retailer in this case, so that you can out-resource the crap out of whatever you're doing when the awareness is super low for it. So we go deep, and then we go wide. And there's my daughter, Jane.
Hey. How do you guys like differentiate from the other brands? I saw like Sabra, is that what it's called? And then obviously like the main, or like every store has like a in-house brand as well. What's like different about yours?
So ours is all about, this is Jane's first podcast.
Jane. Sweet.
What's up, Jane?
That's a big moment, Jane.
Big moment. You got to be quiet though. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
We got to include her. We got to include her on the credits, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys gotta have fun with this.
100%.
So our brand, we own taste in the category. We own taste in the hummus category. No one does taste like Ithaca does taste. So that can be difficult, right? Because we can't put on the front of the pack, like, has 90% more protein or 10 grams of this or good source of this or no sugar or whatever. You know, it's literally like a sensory experience that we're trying to, that we set ourselves apart on. It's a sensory difference. That presents somewhat of a challenge, but it's also a huge advantage. So the challenge is, how do you get people to pick it up and taste it for the first time without having tasted it before? But the advantage is, once they do, they're totally locked in and they can't go back to another brand.
Yeah. Samples, I mean, dude, samples would be crazy, like at Costco or something.
Oh, we like do. Yes, we do that. We love. So we just finished a rotation with the Northeast Costco and the jalapeno lime flavor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And it's just cleaned up. I mean, because, yeah, we just sample. And
that's how you get them. You get it. Yeah, you just get, even like if you open the package just to let the smell out, somebody catches a whiff of that, they're, you know, they're running right to it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We should do a candle. We should do a collab with a candle.
Yes.
Or like
yes.
a cologne or something, dude.
Yes.
French dip. French dip hummus.
Friendship hummus.
Ithaca does sound kind of like a fancy, like cologne, like yeah, you know, Versace type of thing.
You know, it's a cool word. It's a cool word.
It is.
When you look at it, it's got a cool letters in it, and
yeah,
it sounds cool. It's memorable. People generally have some kind of connection to Ithaca. Like, oh, my dad went to, you know, Ithaca College, or I used to go there for rowing or something. You know,
yeah,
I would say one out of every three people that I meet, like in an airport, if I'm wearing my Ithaca gear, that people have something to say about it.
That's cool.
Mine's from The Office. I think that the Dunder Mifflin had a branch in Ithaca. Wait, was it Ithaca? I feel like they did. Maybe like it was Ithaca, actually.
Oh, yeah, it was. I think.
Oh, my bad, my bad. We can cut that.
Well, no. The dude, Andy, though, that was on the show, he had like this, one of the episodes, he was like, yeah, I went to Cornell. You ever heard of it?
Right.
Like you know, douchey about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's his whole vibe.
There's a little Ithaca connection there.
Yeah.
And they're from Scranton, right?
Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's not far from Ithaca.
Okay.
Have you ever thought about doing, like, have you ever thought about getting, do you know who Joey Chestnut is?
Ooh. Yeah. Dog King? Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about, like, collabing with him, you know, getting him to, like, slurp down some hummus, like, on camera and, like, marketing it, like, having a contest?
No, but that would be sick.
That's I feel like it would really kind of blow up.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, I don't know if hot dogs and hummus would go good, but
why not?
They don't need to. We could just water down like a big old 5-gallon bucket of it and have him start slurping it down. Yeah. We'll measure it after, and we can break some world records. I mean,
he would do anything.
Yeah, he'll do it. What's your dip object of choice?
You know, lately I've been into the woven wheats, a good woven wheat cracker. You know what I'm talking about?
Like a Triscuit.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. Okay.
I don't use their brand name because I'm trying to get a good woven wheat cracker to sponsor the Satchats podcast.
All right. We'll take that out.
No, you can. I mean, you know, shout out to Triscuit. Get at me, you know, get the sponsorship rolling.
Okay.
But it'll be woven wheats for now.
I like that.
Okay, you should open your own. You should start doing your wheats. I mean, woven wheats, like,
it's like
super fancy, dude. You're whipping out names. Yeah. Wait. So, talk to us a little bit about your podcast that's coming out.
Oh yeah.
All right. So, Satchats launched in early January. It is a show on YouTube about Bitcoin for people who know nothing about Bitcoin. So, like, Bitcoin can be this, you know, somewhat intimidating topic with lots of like lingo and finance bros. And it's just, you know, it's not as appealing as it needs to be, because Bitcoin to me, like, Bitcoin fixes everything. There's almost like a spiritual component to Bitcoin and the way that I believe it will totally level the playing field in the world. Right. I mean, there's so much redistribution of wealth and the top 1%, and you know, all that has to do with like the money supply and who controls the money supply. The amazing thing about Bitcoin is that it's decentralized. No one controls Bitcoin.
Yeah,
it's the Bitcoin community.
That's
so
true.
It's this like libertarian, decentralized money of the people. That's really an amazing tool for anyone to start building wealth. And and so we started Satchats to just get the word out there, and what we do is we interview 9 people a week and bring them into the studio, or we do it virtually, so you guys should both come on the show.
That'd be awesome.
And if you're what we call a pre-coiner, meaning you don't have any Bitcoin yet, we ask you what's been holding you back from buying Bitcoin. And then we talk about that for like 45 minutes. We get to know you a little bit, but that's the main point of conversation. Now, if you're a Bitcoiner and you have Bitcoin, then we talk about your Bitcoin journey. So we ask you, what was it like before you discovered Bitcoin? What happened that made you discover and, you know, become attracted to Bitcoin? And then what's it like now? Like, how has Bitcoin changed your life? And we want our Bitcoiner guests to share their experience with with the rest of the audience. And so we do it in a really casual two dudes just chatting about Bitcoin type of way. And, you know, we've published something like over 30 episodes in like a month.
Wow.
That's impressive, dude. That's
hard. We're cooking. I mean, we're cooking.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's smart. I really like that idea too. Cause I tried to dabble in Bitcoin like a couple years ago. And every time I think I know and understand it, I don't. Cause I never created that like base, like understanding of it, which it sounds like I could learn that from you, which is really cool. And you're helping people out while also recording it and putting out content. So it's really like the best of both worlds.
Best of both worlds. You know, we're just trying to get as many people as we can to stack their first sats. You know, just start.
Yeah.
And you don't have to understand all of it. I think if you start out, we had an episode today where we talked about how a lot of times people will get into Bitcoin for the first time because they want to make money, which is natural. That's why I get into Bitcoin. I saw the financial opportunity of investing in Bitcoin because the money, it's literally engineered to go up in value, right? But eventually, after I hung on to Bitcoin long enough and I continued to learn more, I got even more interested in Bitcoin because of the impact, like I was explaining earlier, that I think it'll have on the world. Like it is like a once in a, sorry, Janie, can you just make sure you're quiet? It's like a once in a generation, once in a lifetime piece of technology. So
could you explain to us what you see that the average person wouldn't see in Bitcoin? Because it's interesting to me that you think like that it is like creates a level playing.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Field, can you explain that a little bit more just so I understand it better?
Yeah, for sure. So first of all, you have to take crypto and Bitcoin and separate the two.
Okay.
And that's where a lot of times people get hung up is like they think about these meme coin, Hawktua, pump and dump bullshit memes, yeah. Right?
They're like rug pulls.
Yeah.
Rock people, hard wieners. Like it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you just get rug pulled. You get your base hawk to it right off, and everybody's like, wow, okay, Bitcoin is just a big fad or it's a big scam. Okay, so first of all, let's separate the two. Bitcoin is Bitcoin, and then there's everything else. There's no second best, okay? So why is Bitcoin what we call a sundering technology that's going to change the world? Well, first of all, it's decentralized, which means that no government can print it for free like we can with US dollars. Like any nation state can just print and print and print and print money. We got off the gold standard in 1971. You used to be able to take your dollars and go trade them for an equal value in gold because it was backed by gold. It was backed by a hard asset. We got off of that standard in 1971. And since then, the dollar's not tied to anything. We just print it and print it and print it. So when you go to the grocery store, it's not that your groceries are getting more expensive. It's that your dollar is worth less. That's what's happening.
Right.
Called inflation. And they report it at like low single digits, 2, 3, 5%, something like that a year. It's really like 7 or 10%. And the way you can tell is just look at the price of your groceries from 1 year to the next, right? It's not 2% increase. Like a 10%, it's like a 20% increase. What is going on? And the reason is because we have to work for a money that our government can print for free. That's a big, big problem. And that has to do with the fact that the currency is centralized. There's a central bank. It's called, there's the Federal Reserve that can just print and print and print money. And every time they do, the value of the dollars that you hold goes down. That becomes even more devastating if you live in a country where the currency that they use has an even shorter half-life than the US dollar. And that would be somewhere like El Salvador, Venezuela. Typically, you know, less developed nations, their inflation rate is even more out of control than ours. So these people are just trying to work as hard as they can, earn money, but then they don't have any way to save the money. It's just one thing to earn money, but then once you have it, you have to protect it. You've got to make sure that it holds its value. And you can't do that with dollars or any other kind of nation state paper. You could do it with gold, but you know, how practical is that to store all your money in gold, right? I mean, who's going to do that really? You know, you could do it with investments and you could look at the S&P 500 and you would say, wow, it's gone up by an average of 7 to 10% a year over the last 50 years. That's pretty good. But once you adjust that for inflation, is it still good? You know, I don't know. I don't think so. So Bitcoin is, first of all, it's a way for anywhere in the world, someone can work and earn money and they can store that money in Bitcoin. And once they do that, it won't lose value. It will go up in value because Bitcoin is engineered to go up over time. It's got a limited supply, 21 million Bitcoin. And it's got a demand that continues to grow and grow and grow. And what do we know about macroeconomics, right? Supply and demand. The supply is going down of Bitcoin and the demand is going up. And it's engineered, right? Bitcoin is just it's an algorithm. It's a software. It's a piece of software. That's all it is. That's engineered to go up in value. And that's true whether you live in the United States or Venezuela or, you know, the Weimar Republic or wherever. The second thing, so that's called store of value. That's huge. The second thing is that it's a peer-to-peer form of money. So a peer-to-peer transaction is when I literally come to your house and I hand you a $100 bill for something that you have that's worth $100 to me. Peer-to-peer. No one knows about it. There's no bank involved. Venmo isn't involved. Nothing, right? Well, with Bitcoin, it's a digital peer-to-peer money. It's the first one. It's the only, it's not the only one, but it's the first one. It's the best one. So if I wanted to pay someone across the world in Africa somewhere, and I wanted to do that with cash, I would have to wire it to them, which has a bunch of fees and takes time. I'd have to pay them with a credit card, which has a bunch of fees. I would have to maybe go to Western Union. And by the time, if I needed to pay somebody $50, it might cost me $150 to pay them $50, right? So like global transactions, there's a lot of friction there. And Bitcoin removes the friction. So it's a global money. It's the first and best of its kind. And eventually what I believe will happen is Bitcoin will also function as a unit of account. So right now the world is dollarized, right? So we price everything in terms of dollars. How much is this worth? It's worth $50. Well, I'm sitting in a house right now that I built 3 years ago, and it costs today, it would cost me 50% more dollars to buy this house than it cost me to build 3 years ago. If I price this house now, and listen, it's not because the value of the house went up, which is what everybody thinks, like real estate, great investment, right? Buy a house because it's going to go up and it's going to store the value of your money. Not necessarily true. What's happening is the value of the dollar is going down. And I can prove that to you because if you would have priced my house in gold 3 years ago, and then you price it today in gold, guess what? It's worth the same amount of gold. It's worth the same amount of gold. It hasn't gone up in value. Now, if you price it in Bitcoin, it would cost you 50% less Bitcoin to build the same house today. So what money do you want to hold, right? Bitcoin is the hardest money that's ever been created. And anyone can own it. And no one can manipulate it. And that's what makes it a piece of technology that will change the future.
What about the volatility side? Because like it's down like 15% this last month. And say I had all my savings in that, that could be a big problem. Like at least until it becomes main currency, right? Because once it becomes main currency, then it's going to perform and act relatively similar to the dollar, where, you know, maybe it's up 1% or not even that much for the month, or down 1%. But like a drop in 15% could be huge for someone that, you know, is all in on Bitcoin.
Yeah. And that's a great point. And it's something that it's a common, you know, topic of discussion for us. So, you know, Bitcoin is not something that you want to trade. It's not something that you want to invest money that you may need to draw out inside of like 2 years. You know, it's a long term today. And it's changed. But today, based on where it's at in its adoption curve, Bitcoin functions best as digital gold, as a digital savings account. It's the best savings account ever. So if you have a high time preference, meaning you're going to buy Bitcoin and you're going to hold on to it, there's nothing better you could do with your money. If you have a low time preference and you put all of your money in Bitcoin and then you have an emergency, that's not a smart thing to do. Like, so it is volatile right now. And we can get into the reasons why, if you want, or we could tune into Sat Chats and talk about that there. But
yeah,
it is volatile right now, but it's becoming less volatile over time. It's become less volatile over time, and that will continue, as the adoption rate continues to go up.
Okay. And kind of going back into Ithaca, have you thought about accepting it as a form of payment and then, you know, saving it within the company, maybe for like a pension or something?
Yeah, no, great. I mean, so yes, short answer, yes. We just launched, I think I shared with you guys this Graza.
Oh.
Dude, that packaging is sick.
It's the lighting in here is not great, but like, you know, it's a nice green. It's like Graza green and our packaging, obviously. So we just launched this and I like woke up one morning at like 2 or 3 in the morning and I texted the Graza founder and I texted my whole team. I was like, we got to launch this direct to consumer and we have to accept only Bitcoin only for this launch. That would be sick. But we kind of like war played that out a little bit. And the conclusion that we came to was, no one is going to trade their valuable Bitcoin for our little, you know, 4-pack of hummus. I mean, the hummus is great.
I would.
Would you? I mean, look, and I probably would too. But I don't know that there was a mass market of people out there who would be willing to do that.
If it was cinnamon butter, for sure.
Well, and we can work on that. Like I said, right. We'll get to the cinnamon butter. And maybe we'll do the D2C Bitcoin only launch.
Yeah.
It got shot down, not by me. It was somebody else who nixed the idea. I would have loved to have done it. But getting back to Oliver, your question about using Bitcoin as a strategic treasury reserve on our balance sheet.
Mm-hmm.
I have given that a lot of thought, and there are a lot of public and private companies that are doing that right now. And I had that discussion internally with my team for the last year at Ithaca. And ultimately it's one of the reasons why I started Sat Chats, because I wanted to own a company that was 100% run on Bitcoin. And so that's what Sat Chats is. I took some of my Bitcoin and I used them as collateral on a loan. And then I funded the business account for Sat Chats with that money. And then we took that money and we bought more Bitcoin with it. And as we have profits with Sat Chats from ad revenue, we'll buy Bitcoin and we'll hold Bitcoin. So
you know, so like,
yeah.
what is Satchez? And like you said, you had to take a loan. Like, what are you buying with? Like, what is Satchez then, like, on the business side, other than just like the talk show?
Yeah. So like I said, we went like full steam into this. So mm-hmm. we built a studio. I hired my co-host, who I'm fortunate because, you know, at Ithaca Hummus, I probably do, yeah, 10 hours of real, rigorous, meaningful work a week. Okay. And that's like, I spent the last year giving my team more and more and more and more space. And the more I backed off and the more, let's see, the more selective I was with the areas of the business that I really got deep and got involved into, the better the team got, you know? And so I was like, at the end of this last year, I was like, okay, well, I need something to fill up the rest of my time. And if it could benefit Ithaca Hummus, that would be great too. So Ithaca Hummus became Satchat's first corporate sponsor. And at the end of every episode, we taste a flavor of hummus with our guest.
That's cool.
It's cool. I like that. Very cool. And why did we need startup capital for Satchat's? We needed it to look legit. Mm-hmm. We needed a team around us who could film and produce 9 pieces of content plus short form plus all this other stuff a week. We needed a publicist who could book 9 people a week and get us onto shows like this. I mean, it's a production, you know. We have a producer, we have a publicist, we have a studio manager, and then we have myself and my co-host Stuart, and we're just yeeting ourselves into this thing head first, just like I did with Ithaca Hummus, because it's the only thing I know how to do. I'd be going crazy if we, you know, just doing it as like a little side hustle. I can't do that. So,
well, shout out to Melinda, she's killing it.
Melinda MJ, she's the best. Yeah, she is.
And is the studio in Raleigh then?
Yes. It's in North Raleigh, and it's at this little lovely event center called the McGrath. The Macrith. I always say it wrong. The Macrith. And shout out to Anna.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
And Bevan, who owns that place, if you need an event in Raleigh, check it out, macrith.com.
Is it permanently in there? Or do you have to set it up every time you go?
Oh, no. So I found her because she was advertising this like podcast pop-up studio that she was building. So she's got all these different rooms in this event center and like, oh, you could do it in this room or you could do it in this room. And then so I came and visited her and she had like a spare bedroom upstairs. I was like, let's just get all this stuff out of here and I'll get the panels and the cameras and the mics. And like, so it is fully our lock on the door, our space. And, it's wonderful because we get to show up there at 9 in the morning and we tape at 10 and then we take a short break and we tape again at noon and we're out of there by like 1:30 or 2 so that I can get back to my Ithaca Hummus stuff or my kids or, you know, wherever I'm needed.
That's so cool. Sick. That's such a cool schedule. Like, yeah. No, that's awesome, dude. Yeah, we gotta get a studio set up or something, Oliver.
We're not quite there yet. We haven't built a company like Ithaca, but you know, it'll happen. You know,
I don't know. You know, like anytime you say words like "we need to" or "we should," you know, really challenge that because why? You know, what pre-existing belief do you have that's feeding into that bias? Do you really? Because this is pretty good. like you guys are crisp and clear and I can see you great. And it's like you're in the same room. I mean, that's how we chose to do it. And there are definitely some days where I'm out of town at a trade show or something. And I'm like, man, if we would have set up to be like virtual first, that could have been that has its own set of benefits is all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
You're right. Yeah. That's true. That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, this works out pretty good because you can, and plus you're more likely to get like more guests that are willing to come on. Because it's easy, it's simple and convenient. You know.
That said, though, Chris, I'm down to drive up to the Rally Stew if you ever wanted to have us some.
Oh, dude, please, anytime. And here's the other deal. Okay, at the end of the show, we offer each of our guests the choice between $50 or $50 in sats, $50 worth of Bitcoin.
Ooh, I like that.
Right there on the show. And if you choose that stinky old $50 bill, then we have to unfortunately break it out of the frame that we have it framed up in the studio. Or if you choose the sats, we zap the sats right over to you and boom, then you got some Bitcoin.
And then how much hummus could that get me if I wanted to spend it all on hummus? Like,
okay. So an average container is $6. Yeah, nine. Yeah, give it you nine.
Dude, let's go. Yeah. I'd have to eat it fast though.
Well, like, unopened, they last pretty long now.
They last
these days. Yes. Well,
whenever you're putting it all over your body, they go pretty quick.
Oh man, yeah. That's that was quite the experience for you.
Dude, you should have showed up with it on your face today,
oh
bro.
No way, dude.
That would have been awesome.
I don't want that all over my setup, no matter how much I like it.
That's fair enough. You guys got the old Riverside setup. I see we use Riverside as well.
Oh really?
Yeah, shout out to Riverside. Do you guys pay these fools $5,000 a year like us? Is that what it costs you?
No,
dude, we got all the bells and whistles, I guess, because I was just looking at the invoice for them. It's five.
Are you serious?
My discount. Yeah.
Wait. Like, Chris, we can help you out. Like, what are they doing for you?
Can you teleport to
all sorts of like back end AI post production stuff that apparently we got the full Monty package and.
Oh, I feel like we can do all that too, though.
Can you?
Yeah, like AI makes us reels and. For $30,
dude. For $5,000, bro. Like, it better be the most for me, man.
Holy, that's crazy. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna have to recheck that.
I guess we could ask going back to like the beginning, for all the entrepreneurs out there, like, would you do anything different from how you started, Ithaca Hummus?
Yeah. So, what I love about SatChats is everything is recorded and documented. What I didn't have at the beginning of Ithaca was a camera on me at all times, like filming or taking photos of the important moments that you want to capture and that you want to remember. So that's the biggest thing I would do differently. I would have paid more attention and prioritized documenting my journey with Ithaca if I could do it over again.
And is SatChats on TikTok?
We are, yes.
Okay. Because we just recently started on TikTok and we were like, why haven't we been doing this? Like, this is the only way to do it really now. But yeah.
How's it going on TikTok? Good.
Oh, just started like last week. I mean, it's so hit or miss. It's weird. It's like it's weird. You get zero views one video, and then you get like 1,000 the next one. It's really,
I guess, yeah. But if you're listening to this, go follow our new TikTok. This dude started something, and also SatChats and Ithaca Hummus.
Yeah,
follow it all.
Follow it if you want. You know, I don't want to pressure anybody. but we were talking about that the other day. Like, why did back in the day, like the YouTube channels even say like.
Like
follow
and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Like, dude, they're gonna do it if they want, you know. Like, I think JB Copeland said that.
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah,
we do that. We do that. Like a couple of old geezers. We're like, you're like and subscribe. And
dude,
actually,
no shade.
We launched. I'm not embarrassed. That's us. That's what we're doing over there. Yeah. Now, we did launch a little giveaway today, actually on yesterday's episode, okay? And so we are trying to get to 1,000 subscribers as fast as possible. And once we get to 1,000, we're going to do two things. The first one is we're going to unlock a live Friday morning show, which will be a lot of fun. But the second thing is we're going to pick one of the first 1,000 subscribers and we're going to hit him with 1,000,000 sats. We're going to turn him into a satillionaire, just like that. Overnight satillionaire.
Dude.
Yes. Yeah. What? So just saying, you might want to subscribe to Sat Chats on YouTube.
Oh, dude.
It can be one of that first 1,000, you know?
Well, I'm going to go subscribe. Dude, you just turned that up. Like, that was insane, bro. We got to, man. Or no, we don't need to. We don't have to do anything.
No. I mean, if you want. We're not into the future around here.
Yeah. But, dude, that's really cool you're doing that. That's super smart. I do like what you're saying, though, like about documenting everything, though, because, like, a lot of, I mean, dude, social media, like, just post everything, you know? I mean, like, get it out there. And that's something we're trying to work on, too, is, like, getting more content out there that's not just the podcast, like, filming behind the scenes, because people are interested in that, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, like, your page doesn't have to look, like, perfectly aesthetic or, like, don't think too much. Just put it out there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of the baseball team, the Savannah Bananas?
Yes, they're killing it.
They're killing it, okay? So something like 5 years ago, they filmed a meeting with Gary Vee. You know who Gary Vee is?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, I think he's kind of douchey or, like, super douchey. But he advised them, like, film everything. Film everything that you're doing. Like, basically prepare like you're gonna, like, you are creating like a Netflix special on what you're up to day in, day out, behind the scenes, all that. And they've done that, and they've done that really, really well. And I think that's a big part of the success that they've had, is just how well they document things. And they started out probably not doing great. Like, they were probably shitty at documenting everything all the time, but they did it over and over and over, day after day, week after week, and they got good at it. And now they're like, it's like one of their core competencies, and they just crank out all this, like, highly engaging, really high quality content, and it's working for them because their awareness has gone through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good idea for any business to just document the crap out of it.
And, like, looking back, it helps so much. Like, we're happy that we have these podcasts now, because, like, we've been best friends since kindergarten, and we're always like, dang, I wish we could go back to those, like, moments, like, those conversations we had, like, when we were 12 or something. And, like, now we're going to be able to do that in, like, 10 years. And you will, too, with, like, the Sat Chats and everything.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That's pretty cool. Unless you say something stupid, and then it's like,
it's like, damn.
Immortalized forever.
Yeah.
Your kids are gonna see it.
Dude, that is weird that, like, we're the first generation to have, like, like, video documents of stuff. Like, is this stuff gonna be out there forever? Like, what are we gonna see in the future? It's crazy.
Yes.
Like generations down are gonna be able to be like, oh yeah, that was my great 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 grandpa. Like, talking
on,
about,
like, a hologram.
Hummus.
Like, this is gonna be on a hologram type thing.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
Raiden Krauss the fifth is gonna be like, yo, ChatGPT, show me my great 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 grandpappy.
Dude, hopefully I'm searchable, bro.
Out of himself. Me and all, like, let's just have him entertain us real quick.
Dude, that's no, I actually like that. That's cool. I would love to do that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool.
You can't be afraid of it, though. Like, like, you would be inclined. At least a piece of you, maybe a small piece, would be like, ooh, like, I'm that's kind of, maybe I should just isolate, you know, and like not put myself out there. 100% the wrong thing to do. You know, just get out there. Our tagline at Ithaca is tastes outside your comfort zone, because that's where all the fun is. That's where all the growth is. You got to get outside of your comfort zone. You got to do stuff you don't want to do or that you've never done before. Because that's how you're going to grow, and that's how you're going to experience the best life, right? Is by doing stuff.
Yep. That's literally in our mission statement here. It's like, just start. Just do it. Step outside of your comfort zone and do it.
Yes.
Because like, and it just can apply to every aspect of life, like even the small stuff, you know, you just do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Especially hummus. I feel like a lot of people are scared to eat hummus. But
it's true. No, they are. They are.
Yeah. I don't even like, what is it? Like,
I know. I've heard some of the most offensive, like soul crushing things when I'm like out there handing out samples in grocery stores. Like some old lady will walk by and be like, what is that? Like, it stinks. It's like dog food. What is that? Like pet food? Hummus? What the hell is that? Like, get away from me.
Dang.
You know, and so, yeah, like people are not comfortable with it sometimes.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do about it. I didn't know what to do with that. But, you know, hey, just taste outside your comfort zone. You know what I mean?
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Well, the tagline makes perfect sense for this. That's what I'm saying. Dude, yeah. No, like I was eating chocolate hummus one time. And I was like, what is this, pudding? Like I didn't know what it was. It was like.
You were eating it like just with a spoon? Oh,
No. I think I had like some sort of like Triscuit or something, but I mean, it was good. I mean, yeah, I think that's just like taste outside your comfort zone and you'll be glad that you did, you know?
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And like, what's the worst that happens? You know, you just don't like it. Like
it could be allergic.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Yeah. I would eat it around people just in case, like, you know, so they can call 911.
Yeah. Good call. Yeah. First. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had the EpiPen ready whenever I put it all over myself.
Good, 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 good. See, you guys are ahead of the game. You know what to do. You're tasting outside of your comfort zone all the time. You're prepared.
Oh, yeah.
You're prepared. What can I say?
Dude, well, thank you for coming on, man. I think we can go ahead and wrap it up. Do you have anything else that you want to say to everybody?
No. I mean, this has been great. Go buy some Ithaca hummus anywhere where you buy hummus except for Walmart, but that's going to change soon.
Oh, coming to Walmart.
And go to Sat Chats on YouTube, smash that subscribe and like button.
Yep.
Stay around here on This Dude Started Something. We like to ask people to smash. We like to pressure them into it, actually. We're going to go ahead and pressure everybody into smashing that subscribe and like button. And other than that, I mean, it's bedtime at the Kirby household, so it's right. Actually halftime. So I'm gonna go check in and see if how I can be of service to my family. And really enjoyed it, guys. Really enjoyed spending some time with you and having a good combo.
Us as well, and we're looking forward to Sat Chats with you.
Yes. Okay. So just go to satchats.com. There's a link on there. Goes right to our Calendly. Book yourself a slot, and we'll be off to the races.
Sweet. Thank you everyone for watching. It's Chris Kirby.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Colmena Seguros presenta una historia imparable.
Cuando uno de mis trabajadores sufrió un accidente en la empresa, sentí miedo. Pensaba en él, en su familia y en todo lo que podía pasar. Pero la verdad, ese miedo duró poco, porque Colmena Seguros estuvo a nuestro lado, guiándonos y acompañándonos para que la recuperación fuera más rápida. Hoy mi empresa sigue adelante, con la tranquilidad y respaldo de Colmena.
Colmena Seguros, la aseguradora de las empresas que no paran de salir adelante.
Vigilado Superintendencia Financiera de Colombia. Colmena Seguros, una empresa de Fundación Grupo Social.